In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This morning's sermon is based on the gospel lesson from John chapter 15, the 4th and 7th verses. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." And we pray the collect for this day together. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In this collect that we prayed, we just asked that we would love what God has commanded of us, and that we would desire, that we would want, that we would have our hearts set on the things that God has promised to us. And if all of the church and the faithful love what God commands, and if all of their hearts are united towards the goal of receiving what God has promised to us, then we will be united with God. Each of us will be united with God, and as his people, we will be perfectly united with one another through these commands and promises of God. We will not be arguing about what the right things to do in church will be, because we will not do what we want to do in the church, but we will do in the church what our Lord has commanded, because we love what Jesus has commanded. And we will not set goals for our congregation and for our Christian church that the Lord has not promised, that he has not set as a goal for us, because each of our hearts will desire not what the world offers or the devil offers or what we come up with in our own sinful imaginations, but our hearts will be set towards the goal of receiving what God has promised to give us. This is a wondrous prayer to God, and I hope that we are all sincere and honestly wanting what our mouths have just prayed for in the collect. But if we ask ourselves, is this an easy thing? If it is, why should we ask for it? It's a difficult thing. How can we, who by nature are independent and stubborn and want our own way, how can we love what someone else has commanded of us? And we who set our hearts upon all kinds of things in this world, that we would rather have in our hands what we can earn by our own works and what the world offers us and that glitters so brightly in our hands, we would rather have that than the things of God, which are promised in the future and which we cannot see. How can we love these things? It is impossible. It is impossible for all but God. We don't love those things by our nature, but it is a response and an effect. St. John said in the epistle today that was just read, we didn't love him first. We love him because he first loved us. St. Paul says in Blessed Romans, he says, while we were yet enemies of God, ekthroi, haters of God, while we hated the things of God, Jesus died for us while we were God's enemies. And it is the love of God that comes to us in the lack of love that is in our human hearts. And that is the problem of us human beings, that we love ourselves instead of God. We love our desires and what we command rather than what God desires for us and commands us. Jesus came, the obedient Son, under the law, The judge from above the clouds came under judgment for us. The one who owed us death because of our sin and hatred towards him came into death for us. The one who justly cursed us because of our love of self instead of God came under the curse. God loved us in Jesus Christ. And when by the power of the Holy Spirit, our hard hearts are broken before God so that the seed of the word of Jesus Christ can be planted by the Spirit in our hearts, then we not only receive some abstract love of God that we are told about, but Jesus himself comes and lives within our heart because Jesus is the seed that is sown. And Jesus says that whoever loves me, and that is a first fruit of faith, the love of Jesus, our Savior, the Father will dwell in him. And so we become living stones in the church of God. God dwells in us. Jesus lives in our hearts. And we who are by nature rebellious come in the love of God to love the things of God. So that it is a fruit of all who believe in God that this is the truth. Inasmuch as we are Christians, we love the things that God has commanded to us, and we set our hearts on the goal of the things that God has promised to give to us unworthy sinners. It is my prayer this day that if we have grown to come indifferent to the things that God has commanded us to do, that we would be aroused in love, to love those things that Christ has commanded us to do. And if we have become cold in our hearts of hope, that we've become short-sighted and lost sight of the things that God has promised to us, that we would be inflamed in hope again, to set our sights not on the short-sighted sight of things that we can see, but to the things in eternity that God has promised for us. May God revive our faith and kindle our hope. The way of Christ speaking to his church and his people is just the way we prayed. It is by way of commands and promises. Our Lord gives us commands and promises. That is the pattern of the way that Christ speaks to us. Probably if I asked you to recite by heart Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, many of you, by the grace of God, could say it well with me. The Great Commission is the seed in which Jesus is planting the great church of the New Testament that started in the hearts of the apostles when they received this word, that was planted in the apostles' death and is now a tree whose branches spread out over all of the world so that all throughout all nations who are saved take refuge under the shadow of the tree of these words of the Great Commission. And these are words of command. Jesus says, go. Jesus says, make disciples. Jesus says, baptizing and teaching. These are the commands of God. Go out into all the world, baptizing, teaching, making disciples. And the Church of God says, I love it. This is what we will do. We will not teach what we think is right, but we will teach the things of Christ. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. But with these commands, let us not lose track of the promise, because without the promise, the command means nothing. Jesus says, go, make disciples, baptize, teach. And then the promise, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're not the church going off and doing stuff. You are the church who is going out into the world with me. As you go and make disciples and baptize and teach, I am with you. And as you lend your voice, the voice of the church, it is I who am speaking out to you and reaching out into all the nations, going to the ends of the earth, making disciples, baptizing and teaching. Lo, I am with you always, doing these things with you and through you. And there we see the gospel. He is the vine and we are the branches. He is the source of grace, and it flows to us to save us, and it flows through us in the church to save the world that is perishing in sins. And that's the way of Christ, the Savior, working in and through believers to claim them into the kingdom, to take their lives that are sinful, and our lives are still sinful, and to purify those lives by the blood of his grace and the means of his grace. And this seminal, this seed, command and promises plays out and springs out in our blessed catechism and in the Bible verses that are drawn as the main verses for Christians to know in their catechism. That is the form of your catechism. Get out and look at it. It is commands which Christians love, and it is promises by which Christians set their hearts on the one thing needful, which is Christ. It's that way with baptism. The command is in the Great Commission. To all nations of every age, in my name and into my death and resurrection, baptize them. Do it. And what is the promise? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved by Christ through this blessed means of grace. And 1 Peter 3, baptism doth also now save us. The promise of our baptism is Jesus saving us. Communion, the commands, eat, drink, do this in remembrance of me. Command, do it. And Christians love to do it, but not merely because it's a command, but because of the promise that is linked with that command, the promise of his body and blood given and shed for us on the cross and given to us and into us as a pledge of our salvation, the promise of Jesus and his presence reaching as the vine into the branches through blessed Holy Communion. And the warning, he that eateth and drinketh in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinking judgment and condemnation unto himself. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But he who knows his sins and comes to the vine is his branch who is renewed in forgiveness. Command and promise, we do it in faith and receive the blessing. Absolution. The command, James says, confess your sins one to another. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the promise, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so we are stuck in our confession of sin into the wounds of Christ as the nails are stuck within us. Our sins held him to the cross and his love. And in blessed absolution, we receive the grace and righteousness of God imputed to us. Our sin stuck into him, his righteousness placed into us. He is the vine and we are the branches. It is the blessing of faith that we have been converted in order to love what Christ has commanded us and to desire what he has promised. And so we fight against our flesh. We fight against what is in us that hates the things that God has commanded us and that loves the things that make for our comfort and our pleasure in this world that would take us away from God. Our spirit loves our baptism and looks forward to the resurrection that we will share with Christ, that as we were baptized into his death, we are also baptized into the resurrection that is yet to come. And our spirit loves the Lord's Supper as the feast of the forgiveness, as the appetizer, the beginning of the eternal meal that we shall share in the heavenly feast and enjoy with Christ and his saints forever. And we rejoice to come together and to confess our sins, not because we are proud of our sins or proud to be sinners, but because it is true, and but because we are proud of the one who saves us and is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, in Christ's words and commands, the seeds which we receive in the Word and the Sacrament that we learn in our catechism and we as Christians put into practice in our lives is to take us all the way through, from being infants in the faith to feeding on Christ, to growing in Christ, to being pruned of our sins in Christ, to bear fruit, to not remain infants in our faith, to become fathers and teachers of the faith, to turn from being totally dependent to being people of God that others can depend on because the vine is in us and bearing fruit for the benefit of others. Knowing that we earn not heaven by the fruits that we produce through Christ being in us, but that the reward is Christ himself. We love his commands because in his commands, Christ is in us and with us. And that's enough for us Christians. If we do not have heaven because we earn the rewards in heaven. We have heaven not by our doing, but totally by what Christ, our dear Savior, has done for us sinners in order to save us and to bring us to heaven. And so loving what Christ has commanded us and desiring what he has promised, our hearts, as we prayed in this collect, will be fixed upon where true joys are to be found. That means we have one goal. There is one object that our hearts are stayed upon. Now, what that means is we can lose everything else. Everything else is expendable. If only we have this one prize, if only we have this one thing, then take they our lives, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom, the King, Jesus, ours remaineth. As Christ, as the vine, is connected to us through his words of command and promise, love for Christ and bearing fruit from him is a byproduct of Christ, who is mightier than the one in the world, living within us. These are byproducts of having Jesus, of being converted, of by Jesus' grace becoming children of God. And so we love the things of God. We love His word. His commands and promises are precious to us. And they stand in opposition in this world against all of the commands and promises that are outside of God's word. And there we see how we bear good fruit by confessing that word, not only to unbelievers who know nothing about God, but also in the Christian church. When things within the church want to nudge Jesus out, and the commands and promises of Jesus are not front and center in our doctrine and our practice of the church. We as Lutherans know this very well, because this has always been the Lutheran stance, just as it is the stance of Christ and all of his apostles. We also give witness to erring Christians, for there are many Christians who obey the commands of Christ in holy baptism. They baptize people, and you ask them why, and they say, "We do it because Christ commands us to do it." Well and good, so do we. But then they leave out the promise. They don't believe that baptism doth also now save us. They believe it's a symbolic act, that Christ and the Holy Spirit are not working through that water. My friends, the promise is the most important part, because the promise is what stays our faith. And to those erring brothers and sisters in the faith that are trapped by that false doctrine, we as Lutherans must stand up to free them from it and use the word of God. What goes in our roots comes out our fruits, just as water goes into the root of a plant and comes out of its fruits. The water of baptism is at our roots, and it must be our fruits. We must use the sword of the word and free them. Baptism doth also now save us. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The beautiful fruit of the gospel in the presence of its denial to free Christians. The same thing with the Lord's Supper. Why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Many Christians will say, because Christ has commanded it. Well and good. We also do it because Christ has commanded it. But then they go and demolish the promise. There's no body and blood in the bread, because his body and blood are far away from us in heaven and can't be in the bread. And they demolish the promise even as they carry out the command. And faith is more important than works. It's more important to believe the sacrament than to do the sacrament. And if we believe it, we will do it. We as a Lutheran church must stand up amidst Christianity that is locked away from Christ's promise by that false doctrine, and free our brothers and sisters that are enslaved by those lies, and tell the truth of the promise. This is. And if we're going to start parsing the words and say, it depends on what is, we're in the wrong arena, and we're not in the White House. We're in Christ's house, where we know what is. It's is. This is my body. This is my blood. And the comfort of forgiveness for sinners that long to be freed of their sins, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. My friends, if we swallow that and quit doing that, we can't let people feel bad about their faith. Well, why not if it's a bad faith? If we're ashamed to stand up for the truth, why is it Is it because we believe the devil's lie is of the same status as the God's truth? We better not. Because if that's the case, we will bear no fruit for God. Because we don't believe in God. We believe in the devil's lies as much as God's truth. May it not be said for any of us. And if that's the life of bearing fruit, standing up for the truth of God to unbelievers and believers alike, don't be afraid, my friends. It has a good end. We fight that good fight of faith so that we can remain in the faith, so that we can remain in Jesus Christ, so that he can work through us and have success, as Jesus indeed has success in every generation through his church and the gospel, but we are doing it in order to have a blessed death. And that's a fruit of a good of the good fruit that Jesus gives us in the gospel. That's the fruit of our baptism. Baptism means we daily die to sin and rise again as we can in righteousness to walk before God in righteousness and purity forever. That means we have our sights not steered away from death, but to death. We must die to sin. And in our death, we ultimately die. And this flesh that sins, Joel's flesh that sins, will die in my death the best day of my life. Because the goal will be met then. I'm going to stop sinning when I die. And I will rest in peace in that earth in order to rise again with Christ in the blessed resurrection. Faith makes all the difference in the world. When an unbeliever dies, everything that he loves, because he loves the world, he loves the lie, he loves his pleasures, he loves the good things in this life, everything that his heart loves, he will lose in death, as he has ignored the gospel of Jesus Christ and loved his pleasure more than God. He will reap the eternal reward for his having turned his back on God. Though God dearly desired to save him, he forces no one to be saved, and the unbeliever in death loses everything that he had wanted in life, to go into eternity in eternal sadness. But for the believer, everything that he wanted dearly in life, because his heart was stayed on the one thing needful, because his goal was always one at the same, to be with my Lord who has loved me. Because of that, when the believer dies, everything he's always wanted is right in front of him. Death is the means by which God brings him to everything that God has promised for him forever. The end of the struggle against his sinful flesh and hatred of God, and a perfect love, a perfect praise, a perfect worship and adoration of God forever. With all of the hosts in the fellowship of saints and angels, we will praise God in the heavenly choir. Because the fruit of the seed of Jesus Christ, because being a branch of the vine in Jesus Christ, the fruits that Jesus brings forth in his life and in our life are eternal fruits, and we and God will enjoy them in fellowship forever. And may the peace that brings us, that surpasses our understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.